Once more, I want to welcome all those who are joining us today. If it's your first time visiting and worshiping with us here at St. John the Evangelist Church, I'd like to use this morning's homily as a little welcome and a prelude to our intellectual retreat here at St. John. So get a little bit comfortable. If you're here for daily Mass but won't be joining us, that's all right. This is all for you too. If you're here and feeling maybe a little anxious or out of place attending an intellectual retreat, you might breathe a sigh of relief at this morning's gospel, where Jesus states, "I give you praise, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, for although you have hidden these things from the wise and learned, you have revealed them to the childlike." You're probably a little bit more capable of learning and sharing than even you think. That's why the memorial of St. Therese, of the child Jesus, the little flower, is such a fortunate feast to open up our four-part retreat on the theology of the Eucharist. It situates our inquiry into the mystery of the Eucharist within St. Therese's characteristic expression of the faith, namely the little way of spiritual childhood. In his homily for the canonization of St. Therese in 1925, Pope Pius XI stated, "We nurse the hope today of seeing springing up in the souls of the faithful of Christ a burning desire of learning a life of spiritual childhood. That spirit consists in thinking and acting under the influence of virtue, as a child feels and acts in the natural order. Little children are not blinded by sin or disturbed by the passions, and they enjoy in peace the possession of their innocence. Guiltless of malice or pretense, they speak and act as they think, so that they show themselves as they really are." Maybe some parents would politely beg to differ with good Pope Pius over just how peaceful and undisturbed their children truly are, but we'll give him the general idea. In 1997, Pope John Paul II bestowed upon St. Therese the title of Universal Doctor of the Church, the only saint to receive this great designation during his pontificate. And while she did not pursue the path of a professional theologian, John Paul II recognized in her what he called the science, that is, the knowledge of divine love, which is a gift granted to the little and the humble so that they may know and proclaim the secrets of the kingdom hidden from the learned and the wise. Therese teaches the teachers. Moreover, John Paul noted, her timely example as a young contemplative woman who is an authentic teacher of faith in the Christian life. I hope our intellectual retreats and our ministry in general may inspire more young women to be leaders in the church, especially by pursuing the essential vocation of theologians and teachers of the faith. Where would our church be without her great theologians and teachers throughout the ages, like St. Therese? I'd like to propose three essential lessons, or perhaps with our gospel in mind, revelations that we come to learn from the way of children, that may in turn help us foster a greater understanding of the mystery of the Eucharist in the life of the church. First, children teach us how to play. Children teach us how to play. Play is the signature of childhood. Children need not be taught how to play, only encouraged. Why does that matter for the Eucharist? Throughout her spiritual autobiography, Story of a Soul, we see this playfulness and joy, especially in the special relationship between Therese and her older sister, Celine. In one episode, Therese recalls playing Mass with her sister at a very young age before she was able to receive communion. Therese described making her sister help make her own blessed bread. Quote, "Celine got a chair and opened the cupboard, took the bread, cut off a slice, and then very gravely recited a Hail Mary over it. And then she gave it to me. After making a sign of the cross, I would eat it with great devotion. There's italics in the original there. We see here the natural awakening of the religious imagination of the child in the playfulness of the liturgy, later articulated by the great theologian Romano Guardini, who said that the divine liturgy lays down the serious rules of the sacred game that the soul plays before God. What a great description of what we do at Mass. The seriousness and solemnity of liturgy, like play, translates into pure joy. Kids take their play very seriously. It is their sacred time and space. Learning to take our worship more seriously also teaches us to take ourselves less seriously, and so avoid the very adult temptation to worship our own image and success. As a child prone to illness, Thérèse remembered, Céline took such good care of my health that I was wearied with her at times. What never wearied me, though, was to see her at play. G.K. Chesterton later observed, because children have abounding vitality, because they are in spirit fierce and free, therefore they want things repeated and unchanged. They always say, do it again. And the grown-up person does it again until he is nearly dead. For grown-up people are not strong enough to exult in monotony. The secret to learning how to pray without ceasing, let your praying become more like playing. To the second lesson or revelation, I told you to get a little bit comfortable. I promise it's not too long. Children teach us how to think. Learning how to play is the prerequisite for learning how to think. Empirical research in child psychology bears this out. Studies have shown that play is essential for developing social skills and problem solving and abstract and creative thought. But the same insight has been present in theology throughout the ages as well. None other than St. Thomas Aquinas described theology as play. In his early commentary on the philosopher Boethius, Aquinas compares the contemplation of wisdom to play in two ways. Namely, both play and contemplation in theology are sources of joy and delight and activities sought for their own sake. We don't need to give a reason for why we play or why we think. It's just how God created us. Theology becomes childlike play when the intellect is free to wander in its wonder at God's wisdom. In the Eucharist, God hides and we seek. Theology is classically defined as faith seeking understanding, but perhaps it's more accurate to say childlike faith seeking understanding. This, I think, is what justifies the appellation of St. Thérèse of the Child Jesus as universal doctor of the Church. Theology, too, needs the little way if it's not to become self-serving or stuck in an ivory tower. A key to greater understanding and reverence of the real presence of Christ is not necessarily bigger books, but bigger imaginations. Imagination simply being, at least to me, the capacity for mystery. Natural theologians, children, are good. They're good at asking deep questions because they still have healthy and intact imaginations. And so no wonder these are precisely the ones that the Father reveals his mysteries. Jesus placed a child in the midst of the disciples to disrupt their preoccupation with appearing profound and important around other adults. Learning to think well about God is maybe not so unlike learning to think and see the world and God as a child does. At age 4, Thérèse recalls the words of her mother, Zélie, who says about her, "It's true that Thérèse has very rare answers for one her age. She surpasses Céline in this, who is twice her age. Céline said the other day, 'How is it that God can be present in a small host?' The little one said, 'That is not surprising. God is all-powerful.' Céline said, 'What does all-powerful mean?' It means he can do what he wants. Now that's profound. The last revelation, children teach us how to love. It might even be the case that children only know how to love. Children still know total dependence and how to be weak enough to receive love and unself-conscious enough to give it in return. Childlike faith involves a holy unlearning in order to accept the new rules of love that govern all life in the kingdom of God. I may regard myself as a very well-catechized Catholic, but is there anything, any way of life, that God may still be challenging me to unlearn in order that I may relearn the divine science of love present before me in the Eucharist? Towards the beginning of her autobiography, Thérèse writes, "Perfection consists in doing his will, in being what he wills us to be. I understood, too, that our Lord's love is revealed as perfectly in the most simple souls, who resist his grace in nothing, as in the most excellent soul. In fact, since the nature of love is to humble oneself, if all the souls resembled those of the holy doctors who illumined the church with the clarity of their teaching, it seems God would not need to descend so low when coming to their hearts. But he created the child who knows only how to make his feeble cries heard. It is to their hearts that God deigns to lower himself. These are the wild flowers whose simplicity attracts him. When coming down in this way, God manifests his infinite grandeur." No child dreams of mediocrity. The child knows him or herself is either the least or the greatest. There is nothing in between. To be a saint or not to be a saint, that is the question. Every child knows that. Thérèse reasons, "I understood that to become a saint, one had to suffer much, seek out always the most perfect thing to do, and forget self. I understood, too, there were many degrees of perfection, and each soul was free to respond to the advances of our Lord, to do little or much for him, in a word, to choose the sacrifices he was asking. Then, as in the days of my childhood, I cried out, 'My God, I choose all. I don't want to be a saint by halves. I'm not afraid to suffer for you. I fear only one thing, to keep my own will. So take it, for I choose all that you will.'" Only a person who understands that the most perfect thing to do is to forget self and choose sacrifice can grasp the paradox of faith, of what it means to simultaneously be the least and the greatest in the kingdom. Once more, to quote the great John Paul II, "Through spiritual childhood, one experiences that everything comes from God, returns to him and abides in him for the salvation of all in a mystery of merciful love. Such is the doctrinal message taught and lived by this Saint Thérèse." We have no true hope of understanding the great mystery of the Eucharist apart from childlike faith. To adapt the famous statement by the Jesuit theologian Henri de Lubac, we might say, childlike faith makes the Eucharist, and the Eucharist makes childlike faith.